الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولى العظيم. Yesterday we discussed that we should keep roza of our thoughts also. In that we tried and explained that thoughts are from two sources, from shaitan, or bad thoughts, evil thoughts are from shaitan, or they are from our nafs, and the difference of that also. Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. It is Allah who has put all these thoughts of bad also, and of good also, they are from all from Allah Ta'ala. Then as a medium and a source, shaitan and nafs is used in order to put the bad thoughts in a person. Good thoughts come from Allah Ta'ala. And these thoughts which come, the bad thoughts, that is what we are speaking about. And the thoughts that come themselves, they are not harmful. But don't entertain them, those bad thoughts. Don't keep them. And don't intentionally bring bad thoughts. That is harmful for a person. And as far as the treatment is concerned, as far as wazifas, what we can read, which are extremely effective to remove these bad thoughts. The one was, Allahumma ij'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. And the other one was, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When a person reads, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah says, Aslama abdi wastaslama. That my banda has surrendered himself and he has accepted all my orders. The meaning of astaslama abdi wastaslama is inqada abdi wa tarakal inad. That my banda has inqada, he has submitted to Allah Ta'ala, and wa tarakal inad, and now he has given up all sin, all evil. And when he's still committing sin, though he's reading La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then the farishtas tell Allah Ta'ala, Oh Allah, you declared that he has given up sin, but he's still sinning. Then Allah Ta'ala's ghairat, Allah Ta'ala's, like somebody who gives an order and somebody who goes against it, he can't stand that if the person has gone against this order. So like that, then Allah Ta'ala puts his hifazat, protection on that person. Now that person, even if he wants to commit a sin, Allah's protection, he can't succeed in committing sin anymore. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum gives the example of this, like a woman's child. Children like to eat sand. So the child is eating sand, so the mother tells the father that in our yard, we'll concrete it all, put pavers. I don't want sand, my child goes out, I can't control my child all the time. My child goes and eats sand outside. So now they put concrete, they put pavers, no more sand. Now children are children, all people are people. So now when the neighbor's friend comes to play with the child, so he tells the child, you must bring some sand in your pocket also. So now the mother finds out, oh, he's bringing sand, the neighbor's child when he comes. So she puts a customs office now. So when the child comes, first there is customs. She checks up in his pocket if he didn't bring sand. So this child, no matter how much he wants to eat sand, the mother protects him. In love, the mother protects him. The mother likes to make the child happy, but yet the mother will make the child unhappy to protect the child. So like that, by the barakat of the wazifa of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, no matter what your plans are to commit sins, Allah will put customs and won't allow you to go to sins. So there is a very great wazifa. We should try and read it minimum 7 times every day. Then another for this evil thoughts that come, another great wazifa is Amantu billahi wa rusuli. Wandara, not a zabar, not rasulihi, rusulihi. And this is the plural of rasul. Rasul, and the plural of it is rusul. So, O Allah, I brought iman on Allah and all the rasuls I brought iman. So if a person reads this and read it with the meaning that psychologically that you think that you are sitting in all people, You might be a great Maulana also, but thoughts come to everyone. You might be a great Sufi Sahib also. Now these thoughts have, bad thoughts have come to you. Then you just read, Amantu Billahi wa Rusuli. And think also, I'm a person who has brought Iman on Allah and all the Rasuls. And I'm thinking all these things, how bad of me. How can I be thinking? I'm a big Maulana, I'm a big Sufi Sahib, and I'm thinking these bad things. How can that be? It doesn't equate at all. There is no reconciliation between the two. How can I be thinking? So from that point of view, by the barakat of the words also will be protected. And from this point of view, there's a person thinks this, that I'm a person who have brought Iman on Allah and all the Rasuls, and I'm thinking of this evil, I'm thinking of that evil. How can that be possible? It will, the thoughts will go away. So three wazifas that have been shown, we should try and read these in order to fight this evil and bad thoughts that come to a person. Then the other, some muraqabah, some meditation were for these thoughts. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali has shown this, and that is that when these thoughts come to a person, all types of evil, bad thoughts, then make this muraqabah, that Ya Allah, how great aren't you? My heart is so small, but what thoughts don't you bring? That in my four rakats of namaz, that I was in the east of the world, the west of the world, the north, the south, where and where I went. And besides that, that was in one rakat. In another rakat, I went all through my whole past history. In another rakat, I went through my whole future also, what I'm going to do. What thoughts in the small heart of mine, oh Allah, what big thoughts you bring in me. At one moment I was the president of the country and I was running the world also. And I was giving all what laws also. I was running a pure Islamic country. Islamic Khilafat in the whole world I was running. And I made Tabligh in the whole world. And I made Khanqas in the whole world. All that in a matter of a few minutes a person has done. These thoughts that have come. And if it's bad thoughts, what bad thoughts don't come to a person? So a person thinks, Ya Allah, your Qudrat is so big that in my small heart, what and what thoughts, past, present, future, east, west, north, south, top, bottom, everywhere I've traveled and I do everything. So when a person now, Shaitan brought that fuel, as we explained yesterday, in order to distract us. Now we use that same fuel of his to recognize Allah, the great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So Shaitan will see what I wanted to destroy him with, he went and used it to go more closer to Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan made you to go on the internet for bad, bad things, you went on to good sites. And now you got good messages on the internet. So Shaitan will say, no, this person, I can't interfere with him. Like it is said about Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. One night he missed his tahajjud namaz. So the next day he was very, very sad, the whole day crying, making tawbah, istighfar. Ya Allah, I missed my tahajjud namaz. The next night, somebody woke him up for tahajjud. So he asked, who are you? So he said, it doesn't matter who I am, but you have to wake up for tahajjud. So I'm waking you up. So he caught his hand, he says, no, you have to tell me who you are. So then he said, I'm Shaitan. But he says, Shaitan doesn't wake up for tahajjud. Shaitan makes you sleep, you oversleep even your fajr. Where is he going to wake you up for tahajjud? So he said that, no, first I was very pious, and sometimes old habits, they come back again. So I came and wake up. He said, no, that's not the truth. Tell me the truth. Then he told, he says, when you cried yesterday the whole day, you got so much more sawab, closeness to Allah Ta'ala, more than making your tahajjud. So I thought it is better you just make your tahajjud. In that way, I'm in profit in that way. And when you don't make your tahajjud, how you cry to Allah Ta'ala. So what Shaitan wanted to destroy a person with, that same thing, use it to go closer to Allah Ta'ala. So that one muraqabah a person makes. Another which Buzurgan-e-Din have shown, that the heart is like a public thoroughfare, a public road where everyone is allowed to go. Trucks are going, buses are going, cars are going, on that bicycles are going, The rickshaw is also going. A person with his wheelbarrow is also going. All are going. It's a busy road, very busy road. And everyone is permitted to go on that road. But on such a road, if you lose your attention from the road, you're going to bump the person next to you. In such a way, the traffic is moving close to one another. And people are coming into your lane, going out of your lane, all that. So if you don't concentrate properly on your lane, you're going to bump somebody. So like that, all thoughts will come in the heart. The heart is a public thoroughfare. So you just concentrate on what you have to do. Just ignore all the buses which are going past, and the trucks that are going past, and everyone else that is going, how somebody is old car, somebody got a very modern car, somebody got a very fancy car, whatever it is, you ignore, you concentrate on your work. So like that, if you are making namaz, whatever other thought, just ignore them. You just concentrate on your namaz. Your tilawat, you just concentrate on your tilawat. Just ignore all the others. Then inshallah, it will become, these other thoughts won't disturb you. They'll recede in the background. And what you are doing, make that the main thing. And just concentrate on that. And this also is something, first and foremost, in the khanqa also, a person has to learn how to concentrate. If I tell a person doesn't concentrate, then it is difficult for him to achieve anything, for even dunya's matters and even deen's matters. Even in school, especially little children and female teachers usually have this problem that the child daydreams a lot. He's not concentrating. So like that, to focus, to concentrate is very, very important. To teach this, for example, the king wanted his son's islah to be made. So he sent him to the sheikh of the town to go there. So what he did, first of all, he knew he's coming on a certain time. The king said, I'm sending my son. He had all the doors closed. So when he came, he had to go around looking for the entrance. That broke his pride already. He was thinking he's the prince, and yeah, he's going to get red carpet treatment. But he couldn't even get entry here. All the doors were closed and he was hunting. And after a lot of effort and banging and knocking and all that, then finally they opened the door. Then he was given a very simple, ordinary, was just one person there. He wasn't anybody special. Then the king told one of his khadims that, and it was a time when there was a fair in the town. And all the lights, all the streets were lit up. All lights and everything. Or when a fair takes place, how the whole town is lit up. So he took him and he gave him a glass filled right to the brim on top. And he told him he must walk around with it in the whole town. And if one drop of this falls over, and he put another person, the jallad, the person who punishes. And he gave him a sword. If one drop falls over, you must sever his head from his body. Then he told him, now you go and you walk around. So when he walked, now how careful he must have been. When he came back, he asked him, you saw the lights? He asked, which lights? Now that, to have that concentration. How much he had to concentrate, because a person's life is dear to him. And he told him that if one drop overflows, then your head will be severed. They'll take off your head from your body. So how careful he had to be. So his thoughts didn't go anywhere else. So he went in all the bright lights and everything. But his thoughts were just on that glass. So in this way, first thing, Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when a murid comes to me, my first effort is to let him focus and concentrate. Because when he comes, he has come now to spend a chilla, for example, come to spend 4 months, come to spend a year in the khanqa. But his thoughts are, as he has come, that at home, I left that unfinished. What must my wife be doing? What must my children be doing? Is this getting right? So when the person's thoughts are there, he won't be able to benefit yet. So he says, my first effort is to let the murid focus first. Let him think first. Let him concentrate first. One person went to a khanqa, and he also wanted Allah's muhabbat, Allah's ma'arifat. So the sheikh knew, generally, everyone's condition is this, that, and he saw from his condition also that he hasn't got any concentration. So how are you going to focus on Allah? How are you going to think of Allah Ta'ala? And if you can't think of Allah, how will you get Allah Ta'ala? So he told him first that what is your most beloved thing? So he thought he was an ordinary person from a village. He said, I don't love anything, I haven't got anything. He made him think quite a bit. Then he finally realized and he told that the buffalo, which is the key position, which is very, very important to them, he says, that I love the most. So for 6 months, he made him concentrate on the buffalo. All the time, just think of the buffalo. Then when he learned how to concentrate, then from there he diverted. Now when he knew how to concentrate, now he diverted his concentration towards Allah Ta'ala. Allah. Allah Ta'ala, who is abstract. At the beginning, a person won't be able to. First, you have to learn how to concentrate. Then you'll be able to concentrate on Allah Ta'ala. So, this concentration and thoughts are very, very important that a person has to learn how to control them. And dhikr is one thing by which the effort is also that how to concentrate on Allah. And everyone most probably will accept and admit that our thoughts just start going off again. And if a person continuously, if he's conscious that I'm making zikr, oh, today my whole zikr, I hardly thought of Allah Ta'ala. Today in my zikr, what bad thoughts came to me. And this consciousness, and he makes that effort that I have to correct myself slowly, slowly over a period, then he'll be able to start concentrating on Allah Ta'ala. And when a person can't concentrate, how many accidents take place because there wasn't concentration? A person wasn't thinking, he was thinking of all other things, not on his driving. Somehow many times, a very good driver also says, I don't know what happened, how I went through the red light. Sometimes you go through safely also. You go through a signal, you go through a red light, you go through a stop street, and then you wonder that how did I do it? I'm driving for so long and this doesn't happen to me. So lack of concentration. So this concentration in any matter, in our deen's matters, in our dunya's matters, till a person doesn't learn to concentrate. So thoughts are the things that take away your concentration. You can't think. So to remedy this is extremely important. So this is also one area that we have to focus on and give our attention on in order to make our Islam how to focus, how to concentrate. This is a very, very important thing. So zikrullah is one thing. If a person keeps on making his zikr and under the guidance of the Shaykh, if he's making zikr on his own, then he'll sleep away in his zikr. He won't he just somehow complete his zikr. He'll make zikr. He won't think also. He won't concentrate. And if he doesn't come to the Shaykh's majlis to be reminded that you have to concentrate, or if he's far from the Shaykh, he doesn't listen to tapes, etc., he doesn't read kitabs, he'll think, well, I just have to make zikr, and I'm making my zikr. But what will be the quality of his zikr? What kind of zikr? And then many people wonder that I don't get any benefit. For how many years I'm making zikr, I'm not getting any benefit, because we're not making correct zikr. So if a person keeps on going to the Shaykh and the Shaykh reminds him, discusses this, so he gets reminded. Like now, I myself, all of us are being reminded that our zikr, we have to do with concentration. And from here we can understand also the saying of Judge Akbar Allahabadi, who was a judge of the High Court. But when he got ta'alluq with Allah wala, see what a great Allah wala he became. And he said that, yak zamana ba sohbate awliya. Now these are the words of Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi. Yak zamana ba sohbate awliya, behtar as sat sala ta'at be riya. A little while in the company of the pious people is better than 100 years of ibadat with ikhlas, complete sincere ibadat. And Hadrat Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali said, in fact, the poet, he said 100 years, he underrated it. He should have said, Behtar as lakh sala ta'at beriya. Better than 100,000 years. Because, for example, a person whole life is making zikr, but there isn't proper concentration, there isn't proper devotion. And he comes a little while in the company of the Shaykh and he's reminded of that. Now his one majlis of zikr, where and where won't it take him? So therefore, the zikrullah, that is important also in order to for us to concentrate. Many people ask this question also, that in namaz we can't concentrate. And in namaz, a lot of all bad even thoughts come to us. And they want the remedy straight away. But that remedy is not straight away. It is like a person who's got a manual typewriter. And, or for example, a person who doesn't even know the alphabet. And he wants to go on computers. And he wants to learn how to benefit from the computers. What the computers can do for him. So, what will he have to first learn? The keyboard, he will have to get used to that first. If he was using a manual typewriter, an electric typewriter, now he'll have to get used to the keyboard of the computer. Then he'll have to learn all the different functions of the different keys. And one key, what and what functions. And if you don't learn that, and without that, you just want to benefit from the computer, you're not going to. So in the same way, our namaz also, we just want directly that we get concentration. What is the computer compared to namaz? What the computer can do for you and what namaz can do for you. Where can all the computers and all the programs of the world do what one, two rakats of namaz can do for a person? So in order to benefit from namaz, there are two basic causes that a person has to do. Then he'll be able to get his benefit from namaz. The one of it is the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. He has to first know who is that being to whom he has surrendered. Not when his namaz started, but when the muazzin called out Allahu Akbar, the meaning of Allahu Akbar has to come into him. Allah is the greatest. And to this extent, like those people who achieved this, who went to this and made this effort and achieved it, no matter what work they were doing, they gave up all their work when they heard Allahu Akbar. There are those buzurgs whose faces used to turn yellow, that now it's time we are summoned to the court. If we just get a letter or a phone call that SARS, the receiver, is going to be checking on you, and then we get yellow. All the blood drains from our face. Everything, our whole program changes. So far, yes, they haven't said when they're coming, what they're going to check on, but just that, or a friend just tells us, somebody working in the office, that I saw your name on the list, and they'll be sending, you can expect a letter any time. They're going to be checking on you. They're going to do an investigation on you. What happens? Yeah, in namaz, we are summoned to the court of Allah Ta'ala. If a person knows that, realizes that, then his condition will change. There were those buzurgs Salim Haddad, who was a blacksmith. And when he used to pick up that heavy hammer to hit on his iron and his metal, to shape it, to work on it. But when he lifted it up, and it was effort, and a heavy hammer, but he heard Allahu Akbar, he wouldn't take work from that hammer coming down. He'll just put it aside, now it's time for namaz. How far aren't we from that? To give jawab of azan, etc. We are occupied in our work. What work? We are in our discussions, talks we are. And then also azan doesn't mean anything to us. We don't even reply to the azan. We don't respect and honor the azan. We don't keep quiet at the time of azan. We are carrying on with our talks. Our condition is such that namaz has stood up here. Yeah, we have got glass doors. A person is coming. He sees the namaz has stood up. But still having our discussions there. Forget the azan. Even when namaz has stood up, we are still engaged in our discussion. If it was a matter of iman and kufr, somebody's life and death is also not so important. Matter of somebody's iman and kufr, it can be understood perhaps. But there's just no real reason. And we are talking, discussing, coming slowly in the wuzukhana. How lot noise? Namaz has started. But the noise carries on still all the time. So if a person realizes, so the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, then a person will be able to have concentration in namaz. And the next thing after ma'rifat also, zikrullah. A person does a cause, at least 40 days he does his zikr properly. Then he'll learn how to focus. Then in namaz we will be able to focus. And in namaz, there are various aspects. For example, even Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Asr namaz made 5 rakats on one occasion instead of 4. And one person were then told that has namaz command changed, is the namaz now 5 rakats? Perhaps wahi came that from now. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam still did not place it that I made 5 rakats in 4. So he asked the Sahaba, that Sahaba whose hands were a bit long and known as Dhul Yadain, his hands were a bit long, that what he's saying, is it correct? So this can happen. Mistakes like this can happen. The real concentration, if a person concentrates on his rakats, that is also concentration. But when a person will concentrate on the subject matter, it's possible this side, his rakats will go this way and that way. When he's concentrating on the subject matter, a half is a Quran. If he concentrates on his hifz aspect, probably he won't make a mistake. If he goes into meanings, it's very possible he will make a mistake. We were doing tafsir in Rawalpindi by Mawlana Ghulamullah Khan Sahib, who was known as Tawheedi. So his son was making Taraweeh, and in Yasin most probably it was. So then Mawlana's thoughts went on the meanings, and he's repeating, correcting his son. But his son was reading correctly. Many times our mind goes to grammatical laws, and then according to grammar we think it should be kafirin or kafirun, or what it should be. So a person, when his mind goes on something else, which is also concentration, but then he misses out somewhere else. So this is a natural thing. But anyway, any of these aspects will be regarded as concentration in namaz. If we think about akhirat, we think about the qabr, and perhaps we forget how many rakats we read. We forget whether we made ruku or sajda. But that will also be concentration if it was some aspect of deen. And a person, if he doesn't think of that, he just thinks I'm in ruku, sajda, this is my first rakat, second, that is also concentration. So there are various forms. If a person thinks of the meaning, that is also concentration. Imam Ghazali, the famous Imam Ghazali, his brother one day was making imamat, and he was a great alim too. And while making imamat, he thought of the masalas, the monthlies of a woman. And he was in namaz. This is also concentration. Masalas you are thinking about. But anyway, so the two brothers were brothers after all. They were great imams for us, but amongst them they were brothers. And the Imam Ghazali didn't like to make namaz behind his brother. So this brother who was the imam complained to his mother that my brother doesn't make namaz. He says, I must make namaz behind him when he is busy in women's monthlies, in the napak blood, in the dirty, filthy blood, and I must make namaz behind him. How can I make namaz behind him? They had their position. He was an imam of tasawwuf, Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, Imam Hamid Ghazali. So anyway, all this is concentration. But how to learn to focus properly in namaz, a person has to have ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. And then a person has to have a dua cause on zikr to learn how to focus. Then a person, inshallah, will be able to concentrate in namaz. And concentration in namaz is one aspect of namaz. Namaz is that which Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Believers basically are all successful already. But the height of success, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Then 10 qualities. A person who qualifies this 10, he will get the height of success. Otherwise, iman is going to give success. But it will give the primary success, and it will give finally success. On the day of Qiyamah, the starting of the day of Qiyamah will be such when everyone will be awe-stricken. The Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, they all will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, idhab ila funan, idhab ila funan. That will be the beginning. And the end of the day of Qiyamah will be that when shaitan will also hope, perhaps I'm also going to be forgiven. At the beginning there will be so, papers will be tested very strictly, very, very harshly. And at the end, then everyone, very easy, just one small thing, okay, go maaf, one small thing. Allah. But that will be at the end. So the iman finally is going to give everyone salvation. But to get salvation right from the beginning, and the day of Qiyamah is a day 50,000 years long. How long won't it be? And if a person is to be held up there for 50,000 years, for where we can't wait for 1 minute, it's too long. On the phone, at the signal, traffic light, 1 minute, and it is too much for us. So 50,000 years, how will we? So a person, those who make effort and get the highest level of success, right from the beginning, they will go away straight to Jannah. And there are many people like that who will be called out. The seven people that comes in the hadith, this is in one hadith. There are more people that will be given the shade of Allah's arsh on the day of Qiyamah. In one hadith, the seven of them comes. And they are the tahajjud guzar, the zakirin, all these people, etc. So we should make an effort that we can qualify for that, that right from the time we leave this dunya, in this dunya we live with peace and happiness. At the time of qabr, no fear, no ghabrahat. In the qabr also, on the day of qiyam also, and straight we go to Jannat also. That is what we must make an effort. Otherwise, at the end, everyone is going to be forgiven. All the believers, no matter how weak their iman was, no matter how bad their amal were, finally, even perhaps some will have to go via Jahannam. But then also they will be taken out. They'll also go to Jannah. But who wants to go for 1 second? We can't think of Jahannam also. And Jahannam is far too much. The qabr, the azab of the qabr. And that also is far too much in this dunya. If Allah makes a person parishan. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that all gunas are the agencies of Jahannam. And all neki are the agencies of Jannah. Jannat is the big head office. And the substations and all the agencies of Jannat are all acts of good deeds. So when a person will do a good deed, what rahat a person, enjoyment and comfort he'll get in Jannat, he'll get it here in this dunya already. When he's living a life going towards Jannat, he will get that enjoyment. Hadrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that we see how lot great respect they are for Buzurgani Deen. How the people wait for them, prepare food for them, to serve them, do everything for them. There is a sign already. And this is Basharat, which is given in advance of what respect is in store for them in the Akhirah. And here in this dunya, if a person is being taken to the jail, they are hitting him for years, they are locking up there, he's being humiliated, it must not be that it's a sign of what's awaiting for him there. So in this dunya, when we do righteous deeds, live a righteous life, then we are living in the shadow of Jannah, so to say. We are going that way. And a person who commits sin, and then our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that a person whose life is full of sin, what is he seeking protection from Jahannam? He is Jahannam himself. He is already in Jahannam. The troubles that he goes through, the worries, the anxiety, the problems all the time. A person is just facing problems all the time, everywhere. He's got hardships, difficulties, uphill all the time. This poor person is already, he's Jahannam himself. What is he seeking protection from Jahannam? So therefore, yeah, in this dunya, we should try and correct ourselves and save ourselves from all types of sin. So for the thoughts that come, evil thoughts that come, so this is also, one was the wazaif, the three of them that we have shown. And then these muraqabas that a person makes, this meditation, and then it will help. And then do a cause in zikrullah. And zikrullah, do it properly. Listen to the instructions of the Shaykh. Read the kitabs. Listen to the cassettes on zikr, how zikr should be made. So that our zikr, and one time's lesson is not enough. A student in class, the ustad, the teacher gives a lesson. He's not going to pass end of the year. By the first term, they're going to do revision again. He'll get assignments on that. He will get tests on that. How many efforts have to be made? Then he knows that one lesson. And then how much he has to repeat it, he has to study it, he has to revise it, discuss it with fellow students, then he comes to know what that lesson is all about. So just one time hearing about zikr, how many of us, our outward posture of zikr is still not correct. Inshallah, as the days goes along, We will do a complete course on the zikr also. Our outward postures are still not correct, so the inside, when is that, where is that going to be correct, if the outside is not correct. So our inside also has to be correct, the outside also has to be correct. So we have to do a course of zikr. Then there are other thoughts which are really the main thoughts that we have to discuss. This evil thoughts that come, they come, it's not in our control. And amongst them, and what is the height of the evil thoughts, and this is also a guna of thoughts, a great sin, a major guna, a kabira of thoughts, and that is pride. Pride is not the actions of a person, it is also just a thought in a person, that I'm somebody, I'm big. You may not be big at all. You may be, in fact, if you have got pride, you have dropped from Allah's eyes. You are nothing. It is just you yourself, you have blown yourself up. And you have made yourself so big. An example is given of two frogs that were in the well. And frogs, they blow themselves up. When they make the sound, they blow themselves up. So the one was boasting to the other one, I'm big, he's blowing himself. Till finally, he blew himself up. He blew himself up, and he blew himself completely up. So this is what happens when a person has got pride. He blows himself up, I'm big. And now, according to his thinking, people must make me salam, people must make my khidmat, people must do this. And when that doesn't happen, he gets offended. All in his own thoughts what it is. And then finally, such a person blows himself up. Then he does so bad things, so wrong things, and he's completely destroyed. So this is one of the worst gunas. A person, when he wants to make neki, wants to change his life, shaitan tells him, what are you going to change your life? You're going to give up all this fun and all that lifestyle that you were used to, etc. Jigar Muradabadi was a famous poet of India, all India Shair. He was a famous poet of India. There wasn't a mushaira, a poetry contest anywhere where he would not be. And he was a Muslim, and he was poetry. He was very top poetry, and he used to drink liquor also quite a bit. But then, and Allah, but that is also very interesting. He came, Allah put in his heart, he must change his life. He came to the Khanqa Thanabawan. He wrote a letter, I want to become Ba'at, I want to change my life. Hazrat said, you are welcome, you can come. He wrote again, but I've got a habit of drinking. Just see, Ahlullah, how big their hearts are. Hazrat said, in the Khanqa, I can't allow you. There you can't keep your liquor, but you've got a habit, you drink, you can keep your liquor at my house. And when you want to drink, you can go there, and you can take your tod, and you can go and drink it there. In this way, Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion he saw a prince, the king's son, and he was all drunk, foam coming out of his mouth, flies all around him, etc. So he took some cold water and he washed his face. That person became sober, young man. When he became sober, he saw, what a great buzurg, Allah wala. And he told him, Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham, Hazrat, you, me, a person like me, and this condition of mine in my son, and this dirt and filth of mine, you are people, you wear long, long kurtas, white kurtas, you put itar, you don't allow dust to come on you, you stay very away, you stay in a very neat and tidy way, and you cleaning me, he says, you haven't still understood Allah wala. Allah wala, who are genuine Allah wala, they are concerned of every person. And this condition of yours, I washed your face so that you can become sober. Then immediately, he made tawbah, he changed his life when he saw this. Then Allah Ta'ala gave that person wilayat, made him his wali without mujahada. Without all the long efforts which we are talking about. Allah made him, Allah's qudrat is above everything. Allah made him a wali. And Ibrahim alayhi salam saw that this person has become a wali of Allah instantly. And he made dua to Allah, Ya Allah, I don't understand. Normally to get wilayat, what we're talking over and over, mujahada in roza of your eyes, of your ears. He did nothing of all this. He became a wali of Allah immediately. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua to Allah and asked Allah, how did this happen? Allah Ta'ala told, see how Allah makes walis also. Allah Ta'ala says, غَسَلْتَ وَجْهَهُ لِأَجْلِي. You washed his face for my sake.
Allah.
Ibrahim ibn Adham, you washed his face for my sake. فَغَسَلْتُ قَلْبَهُ لِأَجْلِكَ. So therefore I washed his heart Allah. Because of the love that I have for you. Because of you, I washed his heart. Allah. So having ta'alluq, nisbat with awliya, with buzurganideen, which many people make a mockery and a joke, that when any buzurg comes, you just see all these people in their white kurtas and white topis, like butterflies around that buzurg. And all just going and flying like butterflies around him and that. This muhabbat of Ahlullah, it has got great, great, great value. So anyway, so that was, so this Jigar Muradabadi, and then when he came, and now he gave up his habit. What duas Mawlana Thani rahmatullahi alayhi must have made, the environment of the khanqa, he hardly drank, he gave up his habit. And then when his mort came closer, he said, Pine ko to bahut pili, more or less the words are. For drinking, I drank a lot. Pine ko to be hisab pili. I drank be hisab. How much I drank. And then he said that, up to hai dharka yom-e hisab ka. Now I've got the fear of yom-e hisab, of Qiyamah's day. So anyway, what I was saying, that Jigar Muradabadi, he was towards the end of his life, when he had changed now, the doctors examined him, he became ill. So they told him that Jigar, if you don't drink, you'll die. You have to keep on drinking. And then he said, if I keep on drinking, how long will I live? They say, you can live possibly 10 years. Otherwise, your habit, your system, it's used to this. It can't do without the drinking now. So he said, for me, I prefer to die now than living more 10 years in the disobedience of my Allah Ta'ala. So this is, what was all this? Anyway, inshallah, it will come. So that a person be prepared to change his life. So this person, right, he will change. He may be a drunkard like this also. He changes his life also completely. Shaitan first won't want to. He tell you, you're going to die. 10 years, you keep on drinking, then you can live. Doctors pleaded with him. You are our all India Shair, the pride of India you are. And we can't lose you. You are very valuable to our country. You are a great asset to the country. He said, I can die, doesn't matter, but I can't carry on drinking. So a person, when he changes his life, shaitan will come in various forms that he doesn't want you to change. Finally, when you do change, and you become pious and righteous also. Jigar, with regard to him also. When he came, he told Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi that I've got three ummids with which I've come to you. One is that I must keep a beard.
Allah.
And the second is I must give up my drinking and I must make hajj. And one more, that my maut must come on iman.
Allah.
So when he came, he gave up his drinking. Then he went for hajj. And when those days in Hajj, nowadays Hajj, 5-star hotels and all the comfort and luxury wasn't like that. All hardly you have a mirror. In those days, people shouldn't make Hajj in 3 weeks and in 6 weeks, 6 months, a year they should go. So he went for Hajj. He spent a long period in Hajj. No mirror also. He kept a beard. When he came back to Bombay and he saw himself with a beard, he himself got a shock. And he then this poem came on his tongue that... Up to umid hai ke wo kafir bhi musalman ho gaya. That now I have hope now that I am also a Muslim.
Allah.
And he made this poem from in Bombay. When he reached Muradabad and he was going on the rickshaw person was singing his poem. So he got a shock. This poem I made in Bombay and this person is singing the same poem that I had made. That now I was so disobedient to Allah. Now Allah has made me nek. Then when he went to Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I gave up drinking. I kept a beard. I made my hajj also. Now my worry is my khatima on iman. And that Allah, who through your barakat gave me these three things which were impossible in my life. I've got full hope from that Allah that my maut will also come on iman.
Allah.
3 days before he passed away, continuously he was just crying and making tawbah. That was how his mouth came. Tawbah, istighfar. Allah. Ya Allah, what a life I lead. How will my mouth come? And in that way Allah Ta'ala took him with that iman. So when a person changes, inshallah we'll carry on from here. A person brings whole deen, then shaitan will come, you are pious now. You are very good, you are naked now. And you have to, shaitan will destroy a person with a full beard, with tahajjud and with ishraq and with rozas. The shaitan will still destroy a person. So the thoughts remedy and roza of the thoughts is extremely important. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, correct us inwardly, outwardly, and make us his true pious servants in the true sense of the word.